Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Thank you so much for joining us. You may be seated. We're glad you guys are with us today. I know we're streaming at Ferguson Florissant right now as well. Let's give them a welcome round of applause too. Can we do that real quick? Thanks for being with us. We appreciate that. It is so great to be here at Faith Church. I've been here a number of times over the years. It's always great. Every time I come here, they're like, oh, don't forget to mention this camp. I'm like, when did that campus happen? And when did that one start? They're like just popping up like gremlins. What's going on here? You know why? Because God is blessing this ministry, and you're expanding and reaching more people for Christ every single year. And you know why that happens? Because you've got great leadership in God's house. There's an anointing on your pastors. God is doing something special, and there's an anointing on you as well. Can we just give it up right now for Pastor David and Pastor Nicole? They're such a blessing. Let me just tell you, I've had a bromance with your pastor for quite a while now. We're buds, and I met him. We were at Joel Osteen's together. I met him there, and we just immediately connected. Let me tell you something about your pastor, just so you know this. He's the same guy offstage as he is on. That's right. He's just as crazy offstage as he is on stage. No, he's just as anointed. He is just as called. The same guy that you see on this platform preaching the Word of God is actually who he is. Him and Nicole both. When we connected, I immediately just fell in love with the guy. I just love his spirit, his heart. And then I met his wife, and I was like, how did you pull that off, David? How did you do that? So we have that in common. We both married way up. And Jessica and Pastor Nicole are dear friends as well, my wife and her. And so it's just neat. And even our kids, my daughter DMs Ashton all the time. They've kind of grown up together in the Lord. It's really neat to see them. In fact, I came out here earlier, and I was like, who's that grown woman on the stage? And I was like, oh, that's Ashton. There's no way. It's just kind of crazy. She's at Earth City today, but it's just crazy to see them growing up in the Lord. But I want to tell you right now, I love the fact that in a world where there's a lot of leaders that are acting fake, your leaders are real. And can we just give it up for great, great anointed leadership? You really are blessed. Well, it's great to be with you today. I just got back from skiing. I love to go skiing at least once a year if I can. And, you know, I'm in Texas. You know, about a month ago, we had this massive freeze. And so I know y'all were making fun of us, too. I know you were. Because in Texas, we get like a half inch of snow, and we're like, close the schools. It's an emergency. Like, that's how we operate, okay? We're not used to cold weather, right? But at least once a year, I like to go up into the Colorado Rockies and ski. I love to go and ski with my family. And my wife and I, we kind of go easy. And then my kids are like the daredevils, right? Especially my son, Cole. He's my middle son. He is crazy. He's about 6'3". He's got blonde hair that sticks straight up in the air. He looks like a Bond villain, basically, okay? And so, anyways, he likes to do like crazy things when he skis. He does what's called straight lining, which means you just go straight down the mountain. This means you're going to go 120 miles an hour, okay? And so, but I like to go side by side so I don't go too fast, right? So the three levels of skiing, if you don't know this, I'll just teach you real quick. There's the greens. These are hills that are nice and easy. These are the kind of hills I like to go down on just having fun. If you fall, you're not going to get hurt. It's no big deal because you got all that puffy snow you're going to fall into. You're fine, right? It's a green. Then they have the blues. Blues are a little more dangerous. You can actually break a bone on the blues, okay? And so it's lots of fun, right? But it is a little more dangerous, a little fast. Then there's the blacks. The blacks is where you're going to meet Jesus. This is very dangerous. You skid up to the side of a black and you look over the hill and you're like, it just goes like it's going under. Like, this is like crazy. Who goes down that? And about the time I'm looking in total fear and panic thinking I can't do this, some six-year-old whizzes by me and just goes right down it. I'm like, I'm going to stick it with my pole. What are you doing? You know, it's crazy. Then they have what's called a double diamond black. This is where you meet Jesus and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Go to hell. This is incredibly dangerous and foolish at that. Now, when I go skiing, all these hills are named, by the way, and so I like to go on hills that are named Strawberry Shortcake, Chutes and Ladders, Fun in the Sun. Those are the hills I like to go down. My boys like to go on hills that are called Death Valley, Tomahawk, Godzilla, World War III, Homicide. These are the names of hills. And so they like the dangerous, like the challenging ones that are really, really scary. Well, today I want to come to you because I want to share something with you that I believe it's time for all of us to get off the green hills and move up to the blues and the blacks where it's more challenging in our faith because we've been taking it easy a little too long, right? So it's time for us to step up a little bit and challenge ourselves. That's what today's message is really all about, is how we can challenge ourselves to do what God has called us to do. And so I'm really honored to be here with you. Today's message is called Reach the One. You're starting a message series today, and I get to launch it for you. I'm so excited about that. It's called For the One. And we are to reach the one that God has put on our heart. I believe the Holy Spirit right now, wherever you are, if you're watching online, maybe you're watching through television, however you're watching, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to put someone on your heart to reach. Maybe there's a family member that you need to reach. Maybe it's your spouse. You know, my mother used to come to church and take the kids to church, and she would ask every Sunday, honey, you want to go to church? And my dad would say, no, I don't want to go. She's okay, I understand. And she prayed for him, and she loved him. She didn't lecture him. She didn't judge him. She loved and prayed for him until one day my father finally got radically saved and has been a godly man ever since I've known him because of my mother's prayers. Maybe for you, God's going to put it in your heart that it's time to reach out to someone. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child or a grandchild. Maybe it's that crazy cousin that you know that's just miniskirt chasing, right? And all he wants to do is have a beer and get laid. Can you say that in church? I think I just did. And so maybe that's who it is. It's someone who's just, they're wild as can be. Oh, don't act shocked. I know Pastor David preaches from the stage. There's no way I can say something worse than that guy says. Let's be honest. He's about half saved. Let's just be honest in the house of God, okay? So the truth is this, though. God's called us to reach people who don't think that they deserve God. God's called us to reach people who think, oh, I can't go to church. I got to clean up my life before I come. But why do you need to clean up your life before you come to church? That's like cleaning up before you take a shower. You come into the shower to get clean. God cleans you up when you get to his house. So just come as you are, right? So God has called us to reach people. And I'm going to ask God to put someone on your heart that you are to bring to church this Easter. We're a month away. It's a perfect time to start praying for that person, right? I'm going to ask God to lay them on your heart. Look at the scripture. It says this in Luke chapter 15. What man of you, if he is 100 sheep and should lose one of them, does not leave the 99 and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So Jesus is really, he's saying, if I had 100 sheep and you were lost, I'd leave them and I'd find you. And I would not stop looking until you are found. We are called, we were the one at one point, and God brought us into Christ. And now we are called to go after that one and bring them in as well. You may say, but I'm already saved, I'm good. Yeah, but saying I'm already saved, I'm good is like saying to the rest of the world, you can go to hell. We're called to reach people. Have you noticed that when you ask Christ in your life, you didn't get zapped up to heaven? It must mean that God has something for us still to do here on this earth. We are called to reach people for Christ who are far from God. God wants to use you to impact people. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I'm really struggling, you know, because I'm stuck in this job. And I know you want me to reach people and all that, but you know, I'm stuck in this job. And I'm like, God, why? Why can I get that promotion? Why can I work at this company instead of that company? I mean, Lord, why? And God's saying, quit asking why and start asking who. I got you stuck next to someone that needs Jesus. You keep thinking about the income, but there's someone right there that I'm not going to let you advance until you reach them for Christ. Because that's why I put you right beside them. We are called to reach people. And so how do you do that? How do we reach the one? Three simple principles I want to teach you today. Here they are. The first is this. Number one, pray for the one. Pray for the one that God wants you to reach this Easter. Pray for the one that you are to go after and begin praying for them right now. Amos chapter 6 verse 1 says, Amos 6 1 says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. What does that mean? That means we get comfortable as a Christian, don't we? You know the problem with Christianity? The longer you're a Christian, the fewer non-Christian friends you have. We just surround ourselves with other believers. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're called to reach people, and we don't even have any friends that aren't Christians anymore. I hear young people say, oh, it's so cool in my high school. Everyone at my lunch table, we're all Christians. I'm like, well, I mean, that's good. But what about all the other lunch tables full of students who don't know Christ? You got to reach them. And then parents say, oh, but I don't want those kids coming to our youth group. They may mess up my kid. Well, if your kid is so strong in Christ, shouldn't they be influencing them instead of them influencing your child? So we're called to still be in the world, not of it. We're called to still be around those people and to make a difference. So the newer you are in your faith, the better evangelist you are, because you're still connected to all those people. Stay connected and bring them to church with you. You used to go to the club with them, now bring them into God's house. And let them be saved. And so if you just get them here, God can save them. He can change them. And so how do you reach the one? Three ways. The first of all is you pray for the one. You pray for the one. Romans 10, 1 says, my heart's desire and prayer is that they may be saved. God wants them to be saved. You have to pray for the one. Quick, I don't want to miss this story. I want to tell you real quick. I love World War II. It's really fun to study it. And there's an incredible museum, by the way, in Louisiana, New Orleans, that you can tell I'm not from there, because if you're from there, you say Nolens. But anyways, New Orleans, I went there, and I went to the World War II Museum, and there's a story that FDR actually says that when they asked him one time, they said, who do you think really won the war? Like which person? And they thought he was going to name a general. They thought he was going to say general this or general that. And he said, oh, that's easy. The guy who I think won the war is Andrew Jackson Higgins. And people were like, who is that? Andrew Jackson Higgins is a businessman that lived in Louisiana, and he made flat-bottom boats. That's what he did for the swamp. And so he designed these boats specifically for the swamp because any boat with any kind of bottom on it would drag and it would be ineffective in the swamp. So he designed these boats. In fact, he used to sell these boats to what were called, to fishermen, but also he would sell them to what were called Louisiana swamp pirates. These guys would pull up in their flat-bottom boat with a gun, steal everything you have, and then drive off. He used to sell it to those guys. Basically, this is Louisiana Mafia. He would sell to them. Then he started selling to the policemen trying to catch them as well. So he was selling to both sides. Does that sound like a businessman or what, right? So he sold these flat-bottom boats. Well, the problem was that we knew that we had to hit the beach of Normandy in France to get enough soldiers out there, right? We were called the Allies, which means we had other countries allied with us to fight what's called the Axis or the Axis of Evil. Okay, which was Hitler and his crew and several of the countries. And so the Allies were us, and we were fighting the Axis of Evil. And so they said the problem is that the boats we have, these massive ships, they're so deep they can't get up to the edge of the beach because it's so shallow. We need some flat bottom boats built that we can get up to the edge to drop our men off from paratroopers as well as these boats. And we need them by the thousands so we can do what's called D-Day, which was, of course, when we attacked and stormed the beaches of Normandy. And this was, of course, they say the turning point of the war was this. Without Normandy, there's no victory. Without flat-bottom boats, there's no Normandy. So Andrew Jackson Higgins was approached by the government. They said, we need you to ramp up what you do because America needs you. In fact, the Allies need you. You can help win the war. And this guy was really not that great of a guy, but he was patriotic. He loved his country. He said, okay, I'll do it. So he ramped up his factory. They used to build hundreds of boats. Now they started building thousands of these boats for the U.S. government so they could plan this secret attack that they were going to do at the beaches of Normandy. And so he did with his warehouse, he put all around the workers that were building these boats, he put giant pictures of Hitler saying, this is who we're trying to stop. And when you went into the bathroom, if you were going to take a break and go to the bathroom, there was a phrase on the wall that became very famous, and it was this. He said, the guy who relaxes is working for the Axis. Let me ask you something about your faith. Are you relaxed? Could it be that we're so relaxed we don't realize that we're actually working for the Axis of Evil? That we're actually helping the devil get his victory because we're not willing to get out of our comfort zone. We're not willing to be stretched. We're not willing to reach out to those around us. We just think about ourselves only instead of thinking about God. Talk about your prayer life for a second. The first thing you need to know, number one, is to pray for the one. Some of you are so busy praying for yourself all the time, you never stop to pray for anyone else. In fact, I've had people tell me, man, I've been praying for years for this to happen. It just hadn't happened. Pastor, I've been praying for the right man or woman to come in my life. I've been praying for the right job opportunity. I've been praying for the right doors to open. It just hasn't happened. I'm still praying. And for some reason, God will answer my prayer. Could it be that God is not answering your prayer because he's waiting for you to pray a prayer for him and his work instead of your work and what you want? Can I give you a prayer that God always answers? Wouldn't this be cool if I could give you a prayer that 100% of the time he always answers? Wouldn't that be great? Here it is. You know, you say, I haven't heard from God in forever. I don't know if God's even there. Is he talking to me? Here's a prayer I promise. God will answer this prayer for you in 10 minutes or less. You know why? So few people pray it. That the turntables in heaven stop when someone's praying. It goes, wait, who prayed that? Somewhere in St. Louis? Who prayed? Right there. Angels. Deploy the angels. Right. Go help them because they prayed a prayer I never hear. Here's the prayer. You ready for it? You want to write this down? Here's a prayer God always answers. Here it is. Ready? God, what can I do for you? He always answers that because he never hears it. But if we'll shift instead of saying, oh God, bless me, do this in my life, do this, help me out, help me. God's like, you know, I have an agenda in case you haven't noticed. And I'm God and you're the servant. You're not God and I'm not the servant. So God, what can I do for you? And I promise you, God will put someone on your heart. And he says, that's what you can do for me. You can reach my lost child because that's what I want. I want them to find Christ. God, what can I do for you? Pray for the one. After we pray for the one, number two, we should pay for the one. We should pay for the one. That means that when we tithe, when we give an offering to God, God uses that to change lives. You know, ministry costs money. To have a great youth group, that costs money. To have great children's programs, that costs money. To have great facilities like we're in right now, that costs money to keep these up. Not only to buy them, fix them up, but then to keep them up. It costs money to do ministry. And I know what some people are thinking right now. They're crossing their arms going, oh, here we go. Here we go again, the preacher's talking about money. We get so offended when money comes up, but doesn't everything in your world cost money? I mean, is there anything that doesn't cost? I mean, if we could pay the light bills with cabbage, I would not be talking about money, I'd be talking about cabbage. But since they don't accept cabbage, we need to talk about money. Because when we give, we're helping reach more people for Christ. And so, in fact, the truth is this. I'm not asking you today to give to Faith Church. I'm asking you to give through Faith Church. When you give to the church, you're giving through the church to reach more people for Christ to bring in to God's house. That's why we give. In fact, God said it best in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son. So if he can give his son, which is the greatest gift of all time, why can't we be like God and be generous as well and give to the Lord's work? Some people say, yeah, but you know, preachers and money and churches, they're always talking about money, this and that. We get so offended. You know, where I live in Texas, football is a big deal. Is it a big deal here? I mean, it's a really big deal where I live. Football is like king, right? And so there's a team in Texas called the University of Texas. Huge football program. I'm more of an Aggie fan myself, but there's a huge University of Texas fan base, even that goes to our church. And so I remember a number of years ago, we were building a building. And the building back then was going to cost $7.5 to $8 million to complete. And I was raising money for this, and people were getting offended. I can't believe you're asking for money all the time. Why is it always about money around here? And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know how to build the building if we don't have the resources to do this, and we can't reach more people. We're already maxing out where we are. We need another campus. And even people that live 30 minutes away, they're not going to drive this far when you put the campus near them. And so I was explaining all that to them, and people were getting so offended. But yet, we had people in our church that were alumni of the University of Texas that were being sent letters to raise money because they were redoing the stadium. And I found something out, that they were redoing the billboard of the stadium, the scoreboard, and the scoreboard cost was $12 million for a scoreboard. It shows the score. So I'm building a building for $8 million, and you're offended, but you had no problem sending money in to build a $12 million scoreboard for a game. Isn't it funny where our priorities are? We get offended by one, we love the other. Let's rearrange this for us and say, God, your house is more important than where we house a football game. I want to honor you, God, and reach people for Christ. So growing up, I had a favorite cereal, and I used to eat it all the time. In fact, I asked if I could have some, and so your team was so willing to help me out. Thank you so much. They brought me some Lucky Charms, some big Lucky Charms. They also brought me a bowl. That's a large bowl, by the way. I don't know if... I mean, I know I need to lose a little weight, but how much do you think I'm going to eat of this? This is a lot. But, you know, you ask David Crank for something, he just goes big. So here you go. So I love Lucky Charms because my favorite part as a kid is I would get the Lucky Charms out. And if you're like me, you know, you don't eat the whole thing, do you? You go straight for what? Anybody know? Give me just a second. I'm sorry. Just a moment. Sorry. They're so good, right? I mean, you got to have the marshmallows. And so I love doing that. In fact, as a kid, I would just go through them and just eat all the marshmallows. A number of years ago, I'm at my house. Grown man now. I have kids of my own. I grabbed the Lucky Charms, I pour it in a bowl. There's no marshmallows. There was not a single marshmallow in the whole thing. Someone dumped the entire thing out in my house and ate every single marshmallow. I'm like, this is someone's ground. I'm taking someone out of the will. This is wrong. All I wanted was marshmallows, not one, a single one, because someone had taken all the best parts out. I thought about that. You know, today I'm talking about, it's a pretty tough subject, right? I'm talking about what? Praying, I'm talking about tithing, and I'm talking about bringing people to church. So that's prayer, tithing, and evangelism. Those are all pretty tough stuff, right? And you may say, Pastor, you know, this is a hard message to hear, but I got some other areas in my life I want God to bless, I want God to do some things. And could God be saying, I hear you, but what you're doing with God's word is you're lucky charming it, and you're just eating the parts that you like, and skipping the other part. We don't need a lucky charm God. If you lucky charm God, he'll just hold off the blessing. And so we need to become prayer warriors who tithe and bring people to church. Let me say that again. We need to become prayer warriors who tithe and bring people to church. And if you'll do that, guess what? If you'll actually consume the whole counsel of God, all the tough scriptures too, guess what? It's the other part of the Lucky Charms that actually provides the nutrients. It's the other part that actually grows you into who you can become in Christ. So let's not Lucky Charm God's word. Let's obey the whole counsel of God, and let's pray, and let's tithe, and let's bring some people to church. Thank you so much. I'm watching you. Those are my marshmallows. I'm watching you, okay? But I want to challenge you. Don't Lucky Charms God. Take the whole counsel. And so when God says sacrifice, let's sacrifice. When God says give, let's give. When God says let's pray, let's really pray. When God says let's bring people, let's really bring people. And because you know the thing that I love about all three of the things I just talked about, prayer, tithing, and bringing people, you can't fake it. You either do it or you don't. Your checkbook will give you away, right? You either give or you don't. And so you either pray or you don't. You either bring someone to church with you or you don't bring them to church with you. You just can't fake this. You can fake looking spiritual, but you can't fake being spiritual. You can fake looking at, you can look really great, but you can not really be honoring God in the details of your life. And so God wants us to pray for the one, he wants us to pay for the one, and then number three, he wants us to run the play for the one. What does that mean, to run the play for the one? It means that this Easter is a month away, and we have a play at Faith Church that we're going to run. I'm so honored that I was asked to share on this topic. I said, oh, Pastor David, I've got a message for your people because I know you, and I know Pastor Nicole, and I know y'all have big plans for Easter. I know you go all out. In fact, if I could share a scripture that I believe summarizes your pastors, it would be Titus 2, verse 10. This is what it says. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. Just the way that your pastors present the gospel is attractive. Who doesn't want to live like they live? Who doesn't want to have a marriage, like their family? They're not perfect, but they are honoring God and God's blessing is on them. And when they bring the word, it's attractive. It draws you in. In the same way, God is going to do something powerful this Easter. And I already know, I've already talked to him. He's planning an amazing message. Listen, the band is releasing a song. They've got great music they're going to be doing. Your youth ministry, your children's ministry is going all out. They're going to have an Easter egg hunt. I want to come be part of that. I may skip out of my church and come over here. That sounds amazing. The Easter egg hunt, I'm going to bring my Lucky Charms with me. We're going to do the Easter egg hunt together. It's going to be great. The truth is we're going all out. And so that means they're keeping their end of the play. But there's a second end of the play. I can be the quarterback and I can step back and throw the ball, but I need you to run the route. Doesn't matter how good the throw may be if there's no one there to catch it. And so as much as Faith Church gets prepared to have an amazing Easter, that's their part. Your part as a member, as an attender, is what? Bring someone. What good does a message do if there's no one here who's lost to hear it? So it's our job to bring someone to church with us this Easter. Scripture goes on to say this in Matthew 19. It says this, let the children come to me. That's what Jesus said. So if you say, Pastor, I mean, I try to invite people and I don't really have the words. I'm not that good with my words, right? Or how about this? You ever had someone that said to you, I'll get back to the children's thing in a second, but maybe someone, you invite them to church and they go, well, I don't know if I believe in God. And you know, science says this and the history is this. And I don't know, I got these questions and this and that. And what do? We get intimidated, don't we? We're like, oh, I don't know the answer to that. Okay. And it just kind of shuts us down. So we invite someone, but then they throw out three or four objections, and we think, oh, I don't know the answer to all that. Oh, why is there such a God? There's God of love, and why you let my grandparents die? And why, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. So we get intimidated. But instead of doing that, we should say, you know, I don't really know why, but you should still come to church with me. Don't let that back you off, you know? And so we're going to practice right now. I want to practice how to invite people to church. You ready? Let's do this together at all of our campuses. Turn to the person to your left, your right, and go like this. Go, hey, want to come to church with me? Just try it. Let's do it. I know it's complicated. I know there's a lot of theology in that, but let's break it down. This is really hard. Ready? Hey. You want to come to church with me? This Easter? Okay. Now, for those of you who don't know what to do when they're going to ask that hard question, that theological question, that question about archaeology or science or whatever. So let's say they ask a question, and here's how you do it. Ready for this? Watch this. Turn back to them. Go like this. Go. I don't know. Let's try it together. Ready? I don't know. And then here's the next part. You want to come to church with me? In other words, you don't have to have all the answers. If you had to have all the answers before you came to Christ, you would have never come to Christ. It's called faith. You don't have all the answers, neither do I. Oh, well, Pastor, you're saying that we should just blindly follow God without... No, I'm not saying you should study the answers and find all the answers you can. I love presenting answers, and I know Pastor David knows a lot of them. Pastor Nicole both will give great answers to those questions. People say, well, how do you really know there's a Jesus? And I always say, well, there's 500 witnesses who saw him raised again from the dead. I mean, we have one witness. We'll put you in jail for a crime you've done for the rest of your life over one witness. There were 500 witnesses who saw Jesus rise again. I mean, so that sounds to me like there's a lot of evidence there. How about this? You know that 10 out of the 11 disciples actually were killed for their faith, and the 11 one, they tried to kill him, but he survived the attempted murder. And so if 10 out of 10 people would die for their faith, if it was a lie, if they made the whole thing up, wouldn't you at some point stop and say when you're at gunpoint or knife point, go, whoa, we made the whole thing up. But they were willing to die? this must be real. Why would you be willing to die unless you saw him walk on water? You saw him heal the blind man. You saw the person walk again. You saw him multiply the food. You saw the miracles, and you saw him raise a new life, because our Savior is real. He's the real deal. So you do have good answers, but even if you don't have the perfect response, just invite them. In fact, what I would say is, I don't know the answer, but come to church, because that's where the answers are. And we'll ask our pastor together that question. And we'll play Stump the Pastor in the atrium. It'll be great. And bring in the church with you, and they will get the answers, just like you eventually had enough answers and you came to Christ. And so let's not let ourselves be silenced just because we don't have all the perfect answers. Now, Jesus said, let the children come to me. Can I tell you who the greatest evangelist is in your family? A 10-year-old. There is no greater evangelist in the world than a 10-year-old child. And so if you say, I don't know what to say to invite my neighbors, have your 10-year-old do it. Say, hey, go invite all your friends. They'll go, okay. They'll get on their bike and they'll ride all around the whole block and come back and go, I got Johnny coming, Sally's coming, Juan's coming, Catherine's coming, Marguerite's coming. They're all coming. And you will have a car full of smelly 10-year-olds for Easter. I want to challenge you to have your kids bring all their friends, because they will come. Because, see, they don't have that whole social stigma that we have, like, oh, you don't bring up church or God, it just feels weird. They don't feel that way. They're like, yeah, sure, I'm riding to church. That sounds fun. Let's do it. And so they are amazing evangelists. And you know what? When a child gets saved, their whole life gets saved. When an adult gets saved, about half our life gets saved. When a child, their whole life gets saved. What can they do for God? Because they became a Christian at a young age. And so let's invite children as well to church this Easter and give them a great experience. Doesn't that sound great? Let's fill this place with kids. Let's invite moms and dads and children. Let's invite all of them. It says in Scripture in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, you will be my witness. Notice it doesn't say, well, if you're feeling good, be my witness. Well, if it wasn't for COVID, be my witness. It doesn't say that. It says, you will be my witness. Isn't it funny how people are going to freak out over Easter on the news and go, oh, this is going to be a super spreader event? That's funny, because all those political rallies weren't a super spreader event, but somehow church is a super spreader event. I mean, can we just admit that what's really going on there is they're trying to keep us from worshiping and gathering and honoring Jesus Christ? We're called to be a part of his house. So let's be a gospel super spreader event, and let's get the gospel to go out to the whole city, because we invite the whole city to church this Easter. God is calling us to make a difference. So what's our part? What's our part? Luke 14, 23. Then the master said to the servant, means he said it to you and me, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Compel them. Wait, compel? That means we should urge them. We should woo them. We should draw them in. I mean, is that what you're saying, Pastor? Because, you know, I mean, I've been studying the Bible, and you know, if God wants someone saved, he'll get them saved. He doesn't need me to do that. That's true. Technically, you're right that if God wants them saved, he'll get, but let's go back. You said if God wants them saved? If? I'm pretty sure God wants them saved. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
I had a friend that was had a locker above me in high school, and I would pray for him, and his name was Sean, and Sean was pretty wild, partied a lot, and I remember praying one day, and I was like, God, do you want me to witness to Sean? Just tell me if you want me to witness to Sean. And I was like, Lord, just give me a sign. And Sean was getting stuff out of his locker, and he goes, hey, you're like really different. Like, you're kind of, I mean, is it, like, I know you go to church and stuff. Is that what it is? Like, what's different? And I'm like praying, God, if you want me to preach to Sean, like, what's God going to say? No, I mean, like, there's my opportunity. If you ask God for opportunities, he will give you opportunities. So I said, why don't you come with me? We're doing this lock-in we got coming. Why don't you come? I invited him, and he brought a bunch of friends. He came because there were girls there, which I get that totally. You know, I was like, hey, we have that in common. And so he came, but at the end of the night, when the preacher preached, I was peeking, and I looked up, and Sean raised his hand and accepted Christ. And 3 years later, Sean died in a car accident. And I thank God. Thank you, God, for compelling me to compel Sean. God wants to use you to reach people, because we don't know how long we or they have. So let's compel people to come in. Does that make sense? Well, again, Pastor, that sounds great, but you know what? It's not our job. The Holy Spirit will save them, and so I don't need to do my... Okay, let's play that game for a second. So let's say if the one they're going to be saved, the Holy Spirit will do it. I have no part in it. Okay, great. So at lunch today, after church, when you go to eat, when the food's put in front of you, don't you dare pick that food up and put it in your mouth, because if the Holy Spirit wants you to be fed, he'll feed you. You just open your mouth. God gave you hands and feet. You can feed yourself. God gave you feet. How beautiful are the feet that take the gospel to others and bring them in to hear about Jesus. Do your part. We have a role to play. We have a part to play. God wants to use us. And so we're going to make a deal right now. We're going to shake on it. Here's the deal. We're going to go all out here at Faith Church to do the best presentation of the gospel you've ever heard. And will you go all out in bringing someone? Can we make that deal? So I've asked Pastor David to shake hands on his behalf. So I'm going to shake hands. Just stick your hand up right now, all campus right now, and shake hands. So we're going to do our part, do the best we can. You do your part to bring someone. Ready? Let's shake on it. Got it? Okay, so we're agreeing, right? Okay, good. I have just a minute longer. I want to tell you one quick story, and I'll wrap up. Let me tell you why this is so powerful and it works. When I was a kid in fourth grade, we had the last day relay game kind of thing going on at school. You know, where we didn't actually do work. We all just went outside and had fun, and we did all these team games. And our class took on other classes in different events. And one of the events was tug of war. I love tug of war. Don't you love tug of war? Remember as a little kid playing that? So we all lined up, and we were just little kids, and the other teams weren't really any bigger than us, but we lined up against them. In fact, we didn't really have one or two big kids. All the other teams had one or two big kids, and they typically thought, oh, they're probably going to get some big kids. But we lined up with the kid in the very back. I don't know what made him do this, but he decided to do something different. He started yelling at us, and he said, hey, everyone pull when I say pull. So we go, one, two, three, pull. We pull harder in that moment. One, two, three, pull. We beat every class that day just because we were coordinated, not because we were stronger. So what are we doing this Easter? Well, I've been praying for this person to come to church with me a long time. Yeah, but Easter, guess what Easter is? One, two, three, Easter. Pull. Let's bring them all at the same time. And then we're ready, we're coordinated, we're equipped, and we will see people find Christ. Reach one. How do you do it? I'm going to pray for the one. I'm going to pay for the one. And I'm going to run the play for the one. And God's going to use you in the supernatural way 1 month from this weekend. Will you pray with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, God, that you're laying someone on our heart to reach, to bring this Easter. Thank you that you sent your son. So God, if you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to bring someone with me to church to hear about Christ. Thank you that you saved me. You came after me. I was the one. And now I'm going to do this for the next one. I'm going to reach them and bring them. And I believe, Lord, that you will save them. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks for letting me share with you guys. God bless you. Please check out this video.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Again, join us each and every week. Can I ask you this? Go to Apple, rate us, put a rating there, put a comment in, leave a review, and invite somebody. Share this with them today. Hey, and don't forget to tag us on social media. If you're liking the podcast, tag Pastor David at David Crank, at Nicole Crank, or at Your Faith Church on Instagram. We want to repost. We want to see what your experience looks like. Also, for the bonus content, the bonus podcast from Pastor David, content where he talks about so many different things, personal, finance, revelation, hearing from God. You can only find it now on the faithchurch.com app. So go to your app store, type in faithchurch.com. Boom, it's right there. It's a free app. Make sure to download it today. On the homepage, you can go and download that bonus podcast right from the app. I'm talking you can listen to each and every session, but whatever you do, go check it out today. Download the app. But until next time, join us right here next week on the Faith Church Podcast.